George Clooney's compelling new movie, Syriana, is about oil, the Middle East, corporate greed, oil, espionage, intrigue, oil, assassination, terrorism, and, did I mention oil? At the end of this movie, you want to go out and buy a hybrid car. And you also want to sit down with whomever you saw it with to try to figure out what screenwriter-director Stephen Gagan has told interviewers is a purposely confusing narrative. Syriana was inspired by the book See No Evil by former CIA agent Robert Baer. Bob Baer is the inspiration for George Clooney's character, CIA agent Bob Barnes, who at one point goes to Beirut and meets with an old acquaintance to talk about a visitor from an oil-rich sheikdom.
He's traveling in Beirut. It's dangerous to travel. He'll disappear.
I want you to take him from his hotel, drug him, put him in the front of a car, and run a truck into him 50 miles an hour.
It's good to have you back in town, Bob.
Well, when we heard that the real-life Bob Baer was back in our building, we thought we'd ask him about the movie that his writing inspired and help us sort out some CIA fact from cinematic fiction. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
First, how big a role did you have in writing the story of Syriana?
A zero role. That was all done by Stephen Gagan, who wrote Traffic, as you know. I had more of a role in introducing him to that world. Mm-hmm. We traveled around the Middle East probably for almost 2 months, oil conferences. We saw the spiritual head of Hezbollah. We saw oil dealers in Nice, arms dealers, everybody you could imagine, so he could pick up the voices. And then I told him a lot of stories that weren't in my book, which in one way or another found their way into the movie.
Okay, let's hear from you about some things that happened in the movie and whether they're historical or plausible. Bob Barnes, the George Clooney character, we just heard him in Beirut talking with an old acquaintance, I guess a former CIA contractor, and they're talking about the abduction of this independent-minded prince from an oil-producing state in the Middle East. Plausible? Such things have really happened, or a good fiction writer's conceit?
It's more than plausible. It happened to me. In 1997, when I left the agency, I resigned, showed up in Beirut, and there was a contract out on a Gulf prince. It was open, and people knew about it. He was hiding in Syria at the time. He opposed his government. He was a cousin of the emir of his government. He was a bit of a, you know, red diaper prince. He tried a coup in 1995 and was trying again in 1997. And there was money being offered to whack this guy. So it is plausible. This is the way the Middle East works.
In this case, the character whom George Clooney is talking to is a former colleague from Beirut, but now he seems to be working for either Iran or Hezbollah or both. There are such people out there, Americans who are working for Iran or Hezbollah?
There are people that are doing individual contracts in a place like Beirut, Damascus, Iraq now, where you can actually find. I mean, this is the netherworld that the CIA works in. Plausible, yes.
He tortures George Clooney. I don't want to give away the whole movie here, but this fellow does. You know, pulls out fingernails. Accurate? Plausible?
This is a fictional story. Okay. I mean, we've had Americans tortured in Beirut in the 80s and the rest of it by Hezbollah and Iranian agents. Bill Buckley, the chief of station, was tortured to death. Yes, it does happen. But again, you have to remember it's Syriana. That Stephen Gagan has taken like real characters and fictionalized their stories, carried them out through the end. Because this, at the end of the day, is a thriller, a political thriller.
It is, and it's
people
a very
are fascinated
movie,
by it because it sounds so real, and it sounds real because Gagan went and talked to these people. I mean, he changed faces and names and events, but and that's why there's such an emotional wallop at the end of it.
The CIA in Syriana in the movie uses what I assume is a Predator. A missile fired from a drone with a video image of its target. Now, I'd been told by people who worked in national security that the CIA in particular was averse to this weapon. They didn't like this weapon.
Oh, they are adverse to it, but remember in Yemen in November, I think, 2002, you may want to go check this, mm-hmm. but they killed an American citizen. It was fired from a Predator and a Hellfire missile. There were six guys in a car. One of them was thought to be Qaeda, and they fired the missile.
CIA.
CIA fired. It happens.
So the agency got over its inhibitions over this weapon.
9/11 changed everything. I mean, it changed the nature of intelligence. I mean, how do we know the intelligence they're operating off of, whether it's accurate, as in the movie? Often it's not. And this is the problem with targeted killings, is you're often basing it on bad information.
biggest question I came out of the movie theater with after watching Syriana was, why is it called Syriana?
You know, you have to go back to Sykes-Picot, where the Europeans were sitting down and redrawing the borders.
This is post-World War I.
Post-World War I. Iraq is a fake country. You know, it was three provinces of the Ottoman Empire was, you know, melded together. That's why we're having these problems there today. And Syriana is a think tank term. People want to create this fake country to help our oil interests, which does at the end of the day. And I think it's a metaphor that this Middle East is made up of countries with false borders.
But does Syriana, this is a serious question, is Syriana the name of the country that the prince is the prince of?
No,
no,
it's not.
No,
and
that
confusion is intentional because the prince never mentions Syriana.
No,
No
one mentions Syriana in the entire movie.
But that's the whole point. Have you ever heard Syriana before this movie?
No.
Well, go to the think tanks. They'll tell you about it. And everybody will have a different version of what Syriana is. And that's the whole point of the movie, is you have all these agendas running in together, running parallel, and no one knows what the guy next door is doing. ExxonMobil doesn't know precisely what our policy is in Saudi Arabia, but it has its own policy.
Bob Barnes, George Clooney's character, at least inspired by you, if not based on you, I don't know how. What's the best adjective here, he is disowned by the CIA.
I was disowned by the CIA. In 1995, I was brought up on charges of attempting to kill Saddam Hussein. I was told not to have a lawyer, and I was... At the end of it, the FBI told me this was a capital crime and they could have brought charges against me had they wanted to. They chose not to. So Gagin has taken this story and, of course, rejiggered it, mm-hmm. and you do get cut loose.
Did you find when you saw the movie, did you find the narrative confusing? Did you feel that you had to sit down and rethink
this? This is the brilliance of it, is I know all the stories. Mm-hmm. I know, for instance, about unitizing North Par and the North Field and South Pars. It's a famous gas field in the Gulf. And I said, how is he going to hook all these things into Kazakhstan and all this? And I said, damn, in the middle, he's doing this on purpose. It's confusing. The guy at the Department of Justice doesn't know what's going on. That's why he can't bring indictments. The lawyer only sees a part of it, Jeffrey Wright. Clooney sees a part of it. And this whole world is what we come out with as consequences. If you sit in this movie and you try to figure out how everybody fits together and when the action turns, forget it. This is not Elf 2.
Well, I'm sure for people who haven't seen the movie, we've even confused them further by now. But
that's the whole point. I mean, yes. You had a smart movie, and they want you to be confused, and you walk away with feeling the system's broken.
Well, Robert Baer, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thanks, Robert.
It's Bob Baer, whose 2002 book titled See No Evil was the inspiration for the new film Syriana. It's showing now in New York, Los Angeles, and Toronto, and it opens nationwide on Friday.